Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari. We are going to directly go into the Investment Committee of Compaq Asset Management. So we are going to talk to Javed J. Ansari. He's a certified financial planner, executive vice president, Compaq Asset Management. He's a member of Compaq's Investment Committee. He collaborates with the investment management research team to execute proactive investment decisions for the portfolios. He also Compaq's wealth advisor team and customize comprehensive financial solutions for clients. He's a certified financial planner, completed his MBA at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. He also studied at the Chinese European International Business School in Shanghai, China. Prior to joining Compaq, he previously worked at PIMCO, William & Neal & Company, publishers of Investors Business Daily. Javed, welcome back to Market Wrap.
Thank you for having me.
Always good to talk to you. Well, the market took off this morning and then we got the JOLTS report. We got the Fed committee meeting and the market sort of drifted right back down. The Dow slightly lower, S&P slightly higher. What is your current view of the markets as we begin 2023?
Well, like the weather out here in California, it's a little messy to start the year. You know, down yesterday, up again today. And I think this is just going to be a little bit of a preview of what we're going to see here for the next couple of months. Right now, you know, everyone's still kind of watching those inflation numbers and then, of course, then trying to understand where the Fed is going to go. And then shortly after that, which I think that's somewhat behind us, I think inflation is coming down. I think the Fed is getting very close to pausing. I don't know if you want to call that a pivot, but I think pausing is in the horizon here. But then the market is also then quickly trying to transition into how much do we need to worry about a recession and an earnings decline here in the latter part of 2023. And really, it's really just a function of time before we're really going to understand whether we are going to see a more moderate recession. I think a minor recession is already priced in, but see a more moderate recession that's going to lead to a big decline in earnings. And I think it's still too early to make that call. But there are a lot of indicators that we're watching to kind of get a sense of whether that's on the horizon or not.
So the market is waiting and watching. So is everybody else until we get some clarification from the Fed. Are they done raising interest rates? That's what the market. And then the market has got to figure out what kind of recession, deep recession, shallow recession, no recession. I mean, everybody's been looking for a recession for the last year and a half under every rock, just like they were looking for inflation for 10 years and they couldn't find it until a couple of years ago. Now they've been looking for a recession and demand is still very strong. It's a recession for the one percenters, people who own real estate or stocks, but people are working. There's plenty of jobs out there. And do you think that is something that we need to worry about, that the economy is just going gangbusters and the Fed find the inflation does not come down because we just have too much demand out there and people are still spending money?
Well, I don't think it's something to worry about. I think that's the engine that really drives the U.S. economy is that middle-class consumer is spending their paychecks on the goods and services of the corporations of the S&P 500. And so if those if the employment market is still relatively tight and they're able to negotiate higher wages, all of that money feeds right back into the economy. And thus, you're not going to get that big decline in earnings. Now, of course, we're in a higher interest rate environment. So what that ultimately means for stocks as well as real estate is that even though you might see a not a big dip in earnings, you're just not going to get that big supercharged boost to prices that we saw both in real estate and stocks that we've seen over the last couple of years, because most likely interest rates are not going to be coming down a lot. Once again, because there is a little bit of growth and people are spending money. So there's also some inflation, built into the system. So you are going to see, I think, positive gains in the stock market in that particular scenario. And that's what it seems to be setting up from here over the next year or two. But I don't necessarily believe you'll be seeing those big double digit, gains that we've gotten accustomed to when the money was a lot cheaper and the Fed was kind of pumping it into the system. So I think you can be positive of where we're at if you're taking a little bit of a longer term horizon, 2 or 3 years from now, but also being realistic that we're in a much more, I would say, normal market environment of seeing annual returns in the stock market closer to 8-9% instead of those double digit returns.
So you think we're going to get it? And if we get a little bit of growth, we have inflation coming down. That's the perfect scenario. That's the Goldilocks scenario that everybody that we had prior to COVID, where we had low inflation and nice growth. And the market really liked that, if we can get there. But as you said, we don't have that extra boost of the Fed giving the market and asset prices a push by pumping money into the economy. Instead, they're pulling money out. So we don't have the go-go double-digit 20% gains that we saw in 2021, but we get reasonable gains out of the market, and that's what we should be looking at. But it's going to be bumpy, especially the first quarter. Mm-hmm. What do you think it's going to be until we get some clarity from the Fed, we get some clarity on the economy, we get some clarity on earnings? Do you think we stay into sort of a range-bound market for the first 3 months?
Absolutely. I, when I look at my charts from a technical perspective, there's been a lot of gaps on the upside and to the downside. So I think we're looking at a market that's just looking at the S&P is going to be somewhat, hopefully, range bound. We don't want to see anything break to the downside, but probably range bound anywhere between 3750 on the S&P and then probably up to 4100 on the upside is kind of what we're expecting here for the first couple of months here in 2023. And then I think you can always look at I've talked about it all last year, and I think it's still a great indicator, the high yield bond market. It was sold off here in early December, so that was a little bit concerning, but has found some footing here recently and has actually rallied so far in the first two trading days of 2023. So that's also a very positive sign for that kind of more of that soft landing Goldilocks. I want to say Goldilocks, it's not going to be that great. It's just not going to be as dire as everyone's forecasting, headed into the latter part of this year. So the high yield bond market's saying, hang in there, maintain your asset allocation. Having a little bit of cash is fine, maybe in case there is a little bit of a dip here through this volatility as we still kind of work through the inflation and growth numbers. And I think particularly we're going to really have to watch the employment number. So, employment is going to be the big thing that, if that really starts to accelerate, that can really then, lead into, it's almost self-fulfilling. As more people get laid off, there's less money then going into the economy, and then there's less business, and businesses have to lay off more people, and then that's how the recessionary cycle really gets started. But we haven't seen that yet, and so those employment numbers are going to be key, and of course we're going to have another employment number here this coming Friday, and so we'll be looking at that very closely.
Some analysts are suggesting more cash instruments like CDs and T-bills. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, definitely there's opportunities. I've been talking to a lot of clients that have been fortunate enough to still be, working and saving and been accumulating cash because they've just been a little hesitant of putting it into the market last year, given all the volatility and global situations with, Ukraine and as China and all of these things to worry about. But I do think there is some opportunities definitely within the T-bill market for that cash. So, you can now get almost 4.7% on a T-bill, and this is a U.S. Treasury note over a one-year period. And also the great thing about U.S. Treasuries is that they're also not taxed at the state level. So when you invest in a U.S. Treasury, you don't pay any state income tax. So that's also a benefit for our clients in those states that have that income tax burden. So that's something to definitely consider. But I think overall, I think you want to be just kind of looking at the corporate bond market, whether it be high yield bonds, we're going to have a little bit more risk. But, you can buy some good investment grade corporate bonds today and get 5.5%, lock that in for 4 or 5 years. If we're only expecting the stock market to do maybe 8-9% over the next 4 or 5 years annualized, 5.5% in your bonds is not a bad trade-off. And particularly if we do go into a recession, interest rates then will definitely come down. You've locked in that higher rate of interest, and those bonds that you bought are actually going to appreciate going forward. So they also give you that ballast that you need for your stock allocation. So I think fixed income is kind of the priority here for the first part of this year, just as we kind of clear up the uncertainty regarding the growth. And then you can also start be looking at equities throughout the remainder of this quarter.
What should long-term investors be doing right now? Should they be buying? Should they be selling? Should they be sitting put? What should they be doing for 2023?
Well, I think you should be, hopefully you took advantage of the volatility last year with tax loss harvesting and repositioning your portfolio. Hopefully you weren't too over allocated to, tech stocks and a lot of those stocks that are, really promising big, returns and revenues in the future. I think in this market environment, those stocks are not going to appreciate for a period of time. So you might want to be pruning those out of your portfolio and getting some more solid stocks as well as dividend paying stocks in your portfolio as well as bonds. Even though everyone has kind of poo-pooed bonds a little bit here, given the rise in interest rates. But I think that really was a one-off situation coming out of the pandemic and just how artificially low the interest rates were given the pandemic. There was naturally going to be some sort of normalization. Kind of all happened in 1 year, so that's why it was rather dramatic. But that does create some opportunities, and I think there is some opportunities there. So whether you're buying T-bills or corporate bonds, I think that's an area you want to be looking at here. And being very selective in terms of buying the actual bonds themselves. Instead of buying bond funds, you need to be actually buying the bonds with fixed maturity dates so you know that you're going to hopefully receive that money back at maturity, and then you can look to reinvest it going from there.
People who last year had the go-go stocks, I mean, I've heard people buying Shopify or something, 40% of their portfolio stuck in that because the broker thought he could go out and do the go-go stuff and get a huge return, try to hit the home run. And unfortunately, they struck out. When you try to take that big swing, there's a high probability you're going to strike out. So what should people do who are down 40, 50% last year instead of, whatever the market did and a lot less than the market if they had a balanced portfolio, but they lost half of their money? They're saying, look, I'm done. I can't do anything now. I'm just going to sit here until this comes back. What should those people be doing now? Should they try and fix what they have wrong, or should they just stick with what they have?
Well, if you were unfortunate to be buying a lot of those high growth stocks in the latter part of 2021 and just experience the drawdown, crypto is also in that same camp. I think it's important that you just kind of realize that that was a part of a fad, and that was a creation of a lot of the free money from the Fed, and that environment, I believe, has paradigm has changed, and we're not going to see that environment going forward for the foreseeable future, and so you just need to kind of hopefully move forward, but don't let that get in the way of getting a nice solid diversified portfolio that can actually make some money going forward, because I do believe that those high growth stocks was really just a function of the times that was really created going back all the way to 2008 and the low interest rates that we saw coming out of the great financial crisis, and it really crescendoed there in with the pandemic and the additional government stimulus that was put in, and you really saw all of those asset values, both real estate, not only just the go-go stocks, have really appreciated. So those are all going to be a little bit more depressed here going forward. So thus yield plays a much bigger role, and you just need to kind of just take your medicine. Don't cry over the spilled milk. I know it's difficult and it's painful, but you just don't want to compound those mistakes by just trying to hope that it's going to come back, because I just don't think that's a realistic expectation from here.
Folks, you heard me 22 years ago. I told you the go-go stocks, the dot-coms are dot-cons. The go-go stocks, if you're there, it's been a rough experience, but you can't look back. You have to look forward. As Javed just said, it's spilled milk. You can't cry over that. You have to look forward. You have to make the changes, and you have to fix things. You can call right now and talk to Javed, 800-388-9700, 800-388-9700, or just go to our website, compak.com, and Javed will do a free review of your portfolio, no cost or obligation. But you have to take the initiative that you want to change things. Doing the same thing and expecting a different return, you know what the definition of that is. I don't have to tell you. You're smart enough to know that. compak.com. Javed, as always, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on Market Wrap.
My pleasure.
That's Javed J. Ansari. He's an executive vice president right here at Compaq Asset Management. Stay tuned. You're listening to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari. I'm going to take a short break, and I will be right back.